A number of years ago, the Lay's potato chip company began an advertising campaign using the slogan, "Bet you can't eat just one." You may remember it. It involved Mark Messier, who was a former Edmonton Oiler hockey player. "Bet you can't eat just one." The idea was that their chips were so good, so enticing, that once you started eating, you wouldn't be able to control yourself enough to stop. Someone has said, one of those statements that I've heard over the years, that self-control is the capacity to break a chocolate bar into four pieces and then eat just one of those pieces. I don't know if you can do that, but I know that I can't. However, control is a very necessary thing. It's a fearful thing to be out of control. Just think of a few examples, like a team of horses, or a river, or a fire. These things are all good. They're beneficial. They're helpful when, and often beautiful to watch when we can enjoy them. But when they're out of control, they can cause great disaster and chaos. Think of a team of horses out of control down Main Street of a town years ago, that would cause all kinds of damage and perhaps even kill people. Or a river. We've just come through flood season again, and flood warnings from high rivers throughout southern Alberta. Or a fire, when it gets out of control in a forest, causes great disaster, great tragedy. And the same thing is true in our lives. Without control, without control over our natural passions and desires, we can face incredibly bad consequences. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. The King James Version uses the term temperance. I want to look at the word for just a moment again this morning. The word in the Greek is enkratia. Enkratia. It's a compound word made up of two parts. The first is en, which is a little preposition that is variously translated as in, or by, or with, or on. And then the word kratia, which means strength, might, force, or power and dominion. And so when you put those together, you get the idea of being in control, of having dominion, being with power, having power over, or might, and the idea of self-control. The idea of the English word temperance is being controlled, of living in moderation without excess. So the implication of this term is that we are to be in control over all areas of our life, self-controlled by the power of the Spirit who produces this ability or this power in us. And this involves the whole being, all that we are, our body, our soul, which includes the mind, the will, the emotions, and the spirit, to be in control of all these things. The Apostle Paul spoke about self-control over the body in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. He said, "But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Some translations say, "I discipline my body, I keep it in subjection. I keep it under control." King Solomon talked about self-control in the book of Proverbs. He said in Proverbs 4, verse 23, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." Guarding your heart. Keep it in control. And in Proverbs 25:28, he says, "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls." There's no protection without self-control. Now, I don't know why Paul put this at the end of this list of the qualities of a spirit-led, spirit-controlled life. Maybe it's because it's one of the hardest to develop or to cultivate in our lives. But we definitely need temperance. We need self-control in our lives as believers. The self-control life is a disciplined life. Now, as I look at my own life and experience, as well as looking at the lives of others, I would suggest to you four major areas which cause control problems for many people, and this includes believers. These are primarily related to our physical being, but ultimately they affect our soul and our spirit as well. And these four areas are money, sex, food, and time. And not necessarily in that order, because what affects one person the most is not necessarily a problem for another person. We're all different. But I want us to just look at these problem areas for just a few moments this morning, and then briefly at the way or the thought of becoming a self-controlled, temperate, disciplined person. Now, I need to say right off the bat that I'm not sure that I'm the person to be talking about this kind of thing. But anyway, here goes. I'm trusting the Word of God to do its work in our hearts. And some of these we're not really looking at much for scriptures. Others we're going to look at several scripture verses. So first of all, these areas of need. And there are others, but I've just chosen these four. And the first we're going to look at is money. We're not going to spend a lot of time on these. We begin with this area, the problem of self-control in the area of money and finance. Now, obviously, we don't have time, nor is this the place for a whole workshop on finances. That's not what this is about. I just want to look at a couple of things, because I think there are a couple of different ways in which a lack of discipline can be seen in money matters. One is excessive spending, and the other is, or uncontrolled spending, and the other is uncontrolled hoarding. And both of these, I think, are condemned in scriptures, in the scriptures. Uncontrolled spending. Sometimes this is simply a matter of spending too much. We live in a world where this is a constant problem. Credit is so easy to come by, and people often spend way more than they have, more than they can afford to spend. The idea is buy today and worry about paying for it somewhere down the line when the time comes, when you can't get away with it any longer. But sometimes it's not just about spending too much. Sometimes it's about spending with the wrong priorities, buying the unnecessary things while at the same time having nothing left for the necessary, the important things in life. So uncontrolled spending is sometimes a problem. As someone has said, again, one of those little statements I remember hearing years ago that said some people need to undergo plastic surgery. They need to have their credit cards cut off. Again, the Bible says a great deal about money. It's one of the most talked about subjects in Scripture. I haven't really selected Scripture verses for this, but there's a lot about it. The other area that I just mentioned was uncontrolled hoarding. And this is the opposite problem, because it's probably not as big a problem, but for some people who are afraid to spend even on basic needs because of a fear of the future, that I might need it down the road, and the constant hoarding, and sometimes it's just a greediness that causes people to cling so tightly to money and to possessions that there is an unwillingness to use it for anything, even when there is a great need, when there's something that they could, a need that they could meet. There's an unwillingness to share with anything with anyone. So uncontrolled spending and uncontrolled hoarding are two issues in the self-control of money. Then there's the area of food. We're not going to spend much time on this one. I think we all are aware of what the Bible says about gluttony and uncontrolled eating habits. In the book of Proverbs, I didn't look it up. I don't know. I can't give you the reference. But there's a verse that says that it is better to put a knife to your throat than to eat too much or to be uncontrolled in your eating. Obviously, that's a figure of speech. But the point is that we have to be careful. And This is one of those areas that's so easy to overlook. Now, as I said, I'm probably not one to talk about some of these things because I don't particularly control my eating. I'm just, I guess, blessed with the right kind of metabolism. But the Bible talks about gluttony. And it's interesting how many Christians will be very vehemently condemning of some areas of intemperance. Areas, you know, like gambling and drinking and whatever it may be, and yet completely overlook the area of self-control in eating habits. Money, food, the third area is the area of sexual desire. And this is a somewhat sensitive area. I don't want to say anything to offend anyone, but it is one of the most difficult areas of life to gain self-control over. And I would say that this is primarily, though certainly not exclusively, but primarily true for men. All of us, as we grow up, develop those natural desires which God built into us, but that He intended to be fulfilled within the bond of marriage. And He also intended that those desires, even in that situation, those desires and passions, should be controlled, should be kept under discipline. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I guess it is Thessalonians. Chapter 4, verses 3 to 7, it says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to control his own body in holiness and honor." Notice what it says there, to control his body in holiness and honor. That's self-control. "Not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness." And so we are to control this area of our life. But there's another aspect to this that is perhaps even more difficult to control, and that is the mind, controlling the thought life. And the Bible speaks a fair bit about controlling the mind. And it applies in this area. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, Paul, in speaking to the young man Timothy, a young preacher, he said, "Flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Flee youthful passions." And I can only imagine what he may be referring to there. There could be a number of things, but I think it includes this idea of immoral type of thought patterns. And that's not confined to youth by any means. Then in Matthew, Jesus spoke about this in a verse that you're all familiar with, I'm sure. In Matthew 5, 27 and 28, he said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." The thought life. The thought life is an area that needs constant discipline and control. And nowhere is that more evident than in the area of sexual desire and lust and immoral thinking. Now, there are a lot of other things that could be said on this whole subject regarding the twisted and debased thinking in our world today, the deviant and aberrant attitudes and passions that are passed off as normal lifestyle choices. But let me just end this section with one more important verse from the Scriptures. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, Paul says, in speaking of the spiritual warfare, he says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Now that was quoted from the New King James Version. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Keeping our thoughts under control. Well, there's one other area that I wanted to mention, and that is one that is a great struggle for many people, including myself, and that is the area of control over time. Self-control in the area of time. It's so easy to waste time, to waste minutes and hours that just kind of slip away unused because we don't have the discipline to make time work for us. This may not be a problem for some of you, but it just amazes me. I have to say this, to be honest with you. It amazes me when I come to my office here in the morning how soon noon comes and how little can get accomplished some mornings. You get looking at a news item on the internet and it leads to another headline, and then you look at something else, and then you fiddle around at something, and then I have a coffee, and before you know it, it's 11:30. You know, time can get away so quickly. How often do we say, I don't have time? Now, sometimes that is true. Sometimes there just are not enough hours in the day to do all the things that we need to do. But often, I think that when I say, I don't have time, it's more to do with the fact that I'm not controlling my time well enough. Rather, time is controlling me. Again, as one of those statements that I heard years ago that comes to mind, a rather interesting statement, someone said, don't kill time, work it to death. I thought that's a good way to put it. But how many minutes a day do we lose through a lack of discipline? And these are just some examples that I came up with or saw somewhere or something. But 5 minutes before dinner's ready, time enough to memorize a Bible verse. A half an hour between supper and your evening activity. Enough time to write a note or to send an email to someone who needs encouragement. 30 seconds waiting at a red light. Seems like forever, doesn't it? Time enough to say a prayer for someone who is suffering. Ephesians 5 verse 16 says that we are to redeem the time. Buy up every moment because the days are evil. We need to have our time under control. The control of the Holy Spirit of God. So how does one become a disciplined person? I wish I knew. No, I say that facetiously, but the question is, how do we develop the self-control in our lives that produces victory in our walk with God? A number of years ago, I read a little book, just a little thin book by Richard Shelley Taylor. It was entitled The Disciplined Life. And in fact, it was required reading when I went on a mission trip back, way back, 1976, and with Operation Mobilization. And it was one of the books we were required to read, The Disciplined Life by Richard Shelley Taylor. And he makes quite a number of suggestions about gaining self-control and discipline. I couldn't find the book this week when I was looking for it. I don't know if I still have it or not. But I do remember something. The first section of the book, it was two sections. The first section was about self-control and discipline and the need for that. And the second book, part of the book, the second section was entitled How, or something along the line of How to Become a Disciplined Person. And when you went to that section, the very first paragraph said, there are no shortcuts. If you turn to this path, this part of the book, looking for the answers to become a disciplined person, without reading the first part of the book, that is a symptom of your problem. And I thought, wow, there are no shortcuts. The way to temperance and self-control is a long and arduous process that needs to begin and end with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. After all, it is a fruit of the Spirit. And together with the Holy Spirit, we need to be determined to gain mastery over our lives. We often look for a quick and easy formula to develop the characteristics or the qualities that we know we should have in our lives. But the truth is, there is no easy way. It takes commitment, it takes determination, and it takes surrender to the Spirit of God. If we live by the Spirit, Paul said, let us also walk by the Spirit. That's all I'm going to say on that, on how to become a disciplined person. There's a lot of things that we could talk about, but we're going to just leave it at that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. We've looked at these 9 qualities that the Spirit produces in us as we yield to Him. It begins with love, which is the foundation of everything that we do, everything that we are. It ends with self-control, which is what is needed for any of these to develop and to grow in our lives. We need discipline. We need self-control over every area of our being. The body. Paul said, I discipline my body. I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. The soul, the mind. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. And the spirit. Keep your heart, your spirit, your inner being. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. And let me close with one more verse from the book of Proverbs that speaks about the result of self-control in our lives. In Proverbs 16, verse 32, Solomon says, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit, or keeps his spirit under control, he who rules his spirit, than he who takes a city. Let's pray. Father, your word is clear. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Lord, it's so easy to be undisciplined. It takes no effort to be undisciplined. Lord, help us to live disciplined lives, to have our body, soul, and spirit under control, to be self-controlled, temperate in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.